This Week in Palestine, a service of the International Middle East Media Centre, IMEMC.org, for April 26th through to May 2nd, 2008. US Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice stated this week that both Palestinians and Israelis should now set the borders of the Palestinian state, while Israeli army attacks in the Strip this week left 10 Palestinians killed. These stories and more coming up, stay tuned. Let's begin our weekly report with the non-violent actions in the West Bank. IMEMC's John Orwell with the details.
On Friday, dozens of villagers from Belain, located near the central West Bank city of Ramallah, conducted their weekly non-violent protest against the illegal Israeli wall built on the village's land. This week, the protest was against the wall and in solidarity with the Palestinian workers to mark the International Workers' Day on Thursday. As soon as the midday Friday prayers were finished in the local mosque, villagers from Belain, along with the Israeli and international peace activists, marched towards the location of the wall, which is separating the village from its land. Immediately after the protest reached the gate of the wall, soldiers showered the protesters with tear gas and rubber-coated steel bullets. Scores of protesters were treated for gas inhalation. On Friday, two non-violent protests took place in the southern West Bank city of Bethlehem. An anti-wall demonstration brought together at least 200 residents of Al-Masra village near Bethlehem, as well as dozens of international peace activists. Demonstrators marched from a high school in the village of Al-Masra towards the construction site of the separation wall on the village's farmlands. Work began a year and a half ago on the village's lands, aimed at confiscating and isolating tens of thousands of dunams of Al-Masra's land located southwest of Bethlehem. As the protesters were about to reach the construction site of the wall, the Israeli army installed military roadblocks and prevented them from proceeding any further. Mohamed Brajia, a media spokesperson of the Popular Committee, said that two Palestinians were injured. He added the Israeli army took strong measures to prevent the international peace activists from reaching the village by installing many roadblocks and closed the roads that lead to the village. Meanwhile, the Popular Committee of Al-Hadar village, located near Bethlehem, organised a non-violent demonstration in protest of the construction of the illegal Israeli segregation barrier, as well as the discriminatory and oppressive Israeli policies used daily against Palestinians. On Friday, about 300 residents of Al-Hadar, along with the international and Israeli activists, gathered in the village. The village's residents performed their Friday prayers at Al-Nashash Israeli checkpoint, located at the entrance of Al-Hadar. Afterwards, Dr. Mustafa Barghouti, a Palestinian MP, gave a speech calling for the continued resistance against the war and the Israeli settlements. Soldiers were deployed, but the protesters stood their ground for nearly an hour before deciding to end their action. For IMEMC.org, this is John Orwell.
US Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice stated this week that both Palestinians and Israelis should now set the borders of the Palestinian state before reaching an agreement by the end of 2008. IMEMC's Fouad Alzire has this story and more.
Condoleezza Rice said that demarcating the borders of the Palestinian state would require that Israel keep the illegal settlement enclaves it has previously established on Palestinian land. Also this week, Rice stated that she believes that there is a chance for the two sides to conclude a peace deal by the end of this year, asserting that Washington would, in the meantime, keep sidelining the Islamist Hamas party until the party opts for peace as a strategic choice. In the Jordanian capital of Amman, the King of Jordan, Abdullah II, met with Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert, discussing possible chances for resumption of Palestinian-Israeli peace talks on the basis of the two-state solution. Earlier in the week, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas concluded a visit to Washington, D.C., in which he met with U.S. officials, including President George W. Bush. Abbas asked Bush to help pressure Israel to end its settlement construction drive on Palestinian lands and to advance the peace talks between the two sides. Spokesperson of the ruling Hamas party in Gaza, Sami Az-Zuhri, described Abbas's Washington visit as unsuccessful, urging him to declare the peace negotiations with Israel a failure, and to focus instead on commencing internal dialogue to end the Hamas-Fatah rivalry and reshape Palestinian politics. In defense of the Palestinian Authority's negotiation strategy, Chief Palestinian Negotiator Ahmed Qari'a said that the Palestinians know their rights well and know how to claim them. Meanwhile, Israeli media sources said that Omar Suleiman, chief of the Egyptian intelligence service, will visit Israel next week to brief Israeli officials on a ceasefire deal which Palestinian factions agreed to on Wednesday. The deal, mediated by Egyptian officials, stipulates that Israel would halt its attacks on Palestinians and lift the siege on Gaza, and that resistance groups in Gaza would stop firing homemade shells for a period of 6 months. Israel had earlier rejected the offer, branding it a maneuver by the ruling Hamas party in Gaza to rearm and reorganize after recent fighting with the Israeli army. Also in Gaza this week, the killing of a Palestinian mother and her four children by the Israeli army in the northern Gaza Strip on Monday provoked worldwide condemnation. United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon urged the Israeli armed forces to ensure protection of civilian lives. Meanwhile, Hisham Youssef, the chief of cabinet for the Secretary General of the Arab League, criticized the Israeli blockade of Gaza as well as the Israeli army's actions against Gaza's population, saying that the Gaza Strip is on the verge of an unprecedented disaster for which Israel will be held completely and solely responsible. For IMEMC.org, this is Fuad Azir.
As Israel announced this week its intentions to lower the scale of military operations targeting the Gaza Strip, army attacks in the Strip this week left 10 Palestinians killed. IMEMC's Aaron Lakoff has the details.
Israeli security sources reported on Tuesday that the Israeli army intends to lower the scale of military operations targeting the Gaza Strip in coming days in order to avoid any possible escalation in the region during the Israeli Independence Day holidays. Israeli radio reported that despite the tragic accident in Beit Hanun on Monday, which left 7 civilians dead, including 4 children, Hamas will not create an escalation. Rather than militarily engaging Israel for the time being, the movement has decided to wait for the Egyptian mediation efforts to broker a truce between Hamas and Israel. Israel has yet to respond to this truce offer. An Israeli shell tore through a Palestinian home in the northern Gaza Strip village of Izbit Abd Rabbo near Beit Hanun early Monday morning, killing 4 siblings under the age of 6 and their mother. The army also killed one fighter who was a member of the Al-Quds Brigades, the armed wing of Islamic Jihad, as well as another 17-year-old. Dr. Muawiyah Abu Hassanin, chief of the Emergency and Ambulance Department at Gaza's Health Ministry, confirmed that the 4 children and their mother were from the Motik family. On Wednesday evening, the Israeli army shelled a workshop in Rafah, in the southern part of the Gaza Strip, killing one prominent leader of the Al-Quds Brigades. 5 Palestinians, including 2 children, were wounded, and at least 2 of them escaped with serious injuries. 2 Palestinians were killed and another 2 children were seriously injured by Israeli army fire in separate attacks targeting the southern part of the Gaza Strip on Thursday. The Qassam Brigades, the armed wing of the Hamas movement, stated that an unmanned Israeli airplane fired a missile at 40-year-old Nafit Mansour, a leader in the brigades, and killed him. Mansour was walking in one of the streets of the Al-Shabura refugee camp located near Rafah when the unmanned plane attacked him. Khulod Ngeli, a young bystander, was injured in the attack. Meanwhile, on Thursday afternoon, 12-year-old Ahmad Kadeh sustained critical wounds after he was shot in the head by the Israeli army during an invasion targeting the Al-Farayin area, east of Khan Yunis, located in the southern part of the Gaza Strip. During the same invasion, Israeli forces also shot and killed 55-year-old Mohammed Abu Duka. For IMEMC.org, this is Aaron Lakoff.
The Israeli army conducted at least 36 military invasions this week into Palestinian communities in the West Bank. During those attacks, Israeli troops kidnapped 37 Palestinian civilians, including 2 children. IMEMC's Manar Jabreen has the details.
The Israeli army invasions and settlers' attacks this week were focused on the cities of Nablus, Jenin, Hebron and Bethlehem. With 38 people kidnapped by the Israeli army this week, the number of Palestinian civilians kidnapped by the Israeli army from the West Bank since the beginning of 2008 has mounted to 1,051. On Friday afternoon, a number of Israeli settlers attacked the villagers of Tuwane near Hebron. The settlers, who were armed with automatic assault rifles, demanded the Palestinian villagers to evacuate the village, claiming that the land where the village is located belongs to them. 2 Italian activists working with other international peace activists in the village were assaulted by the settlers. One of the Italian men wounded in Tuwane spoke to the IMMC over the phone.
I can't understand why, even if you are in Palestinian land, there are 30 settlers with guns, that they can stand here in front of us with the army that is yelling to the Palestinian and not moving the settlers. Right now, the police is arresting a Palestinian. And it's 1 hour after the police to arrest the settlers. They beat me and he's in front of me and they don't arrest him. So this is the news, right? Because never you can hear these things about here.
On Thursday morning, the Israeli army attacked Ansar Sajin, a local NGO located in the northern West Bank city of Jenin. Local sources reported that Israeli troops invaded the city of Jenin and surrounded the building where the society's offices are located. Soldiers then searched the offices and confiscated documents and computers belonging to the organization. Ansar Sajin is a Palestinian NGO that deals with Palestinian political prisoners detained by the Israeli army by providing them with training courses, education, and aid work. On Wednesday at dawn, Israeli troops raided the Sharia Girls Orphanage and School in the southern West Bank city of Hebron. They destroyed a sewing workshop in the school's basement. The raid came after an ultimatum of April 28th was given by the Israeli Army General of Command to close and evacuate all properties and institutions funded by the Islamic Charitable Society, including the Al-Sharia School. The Israeli Army claims that the Islamic Charitable Society has ties to Hamas, but the society denies this allegation. Rashid Rashid is an English teacher at the Sharia School for Boys, also administered by the Islamic Charitable Society.
They took everything in it. The clothes, the dresses, the computer, the sewing machines, everything. They really cleaned it up. There were about 40 soldiers, maybe 10 deep, with three big trucks, and they left here around 4:45.
Also in Hebron, on Tuesday, a group of radical Israeli settlers attacked local Palestinian homes. Witnesses reported that a dozen armed Israeli settlers from the illegal Kiryat Arba settlement, located in the eastern part of Hebron, hurled stones and empty glass bottles at residents' homes and cars. Witnesses added that several homes sustained damage and a number of cars were also wrecked in the attack. For IMMC.org, this is Manar Jibrin.
Palestinian workers this week marked May Day. This May Day of Palestinian workers in Gaza comes as the labour sector is in total collapse. More than 3,900 local industries have shut down since Israel began enforcing a closure on the coastal territory in June 2007. IMEMC's Rami Amagari has more.
This Gaza City cemetery is different. It's not for human beings. The graves contain the remains of Gaza's factories, a symbol of the collapse of local industry. The Gaza-based Industries Federation estimates that since Israel began its crippling siege on the Gaza Strip in June 2007, more than 95% of local factories have been forced to shut down, leaving behind tens of thousands of Palestinian families without income. Amr Hamad is the executive director of the Gaza-based Industries Federation.
We used to employ more than 35,000 employees in 3,900 industrial establishments. Now we had to release more than 32,000 workers, and now only 95% of our industries, 95% had to close their doors.
Hamad says the collapse of Gaza's industries is directly linked to the Israeli blockade.
If this situation persists, I don't think we'll be able to operate any more of our factories, since we cannot import any of our raw materials. For example, we used to import more than 95% of our raw materials through Israeli crossings. More than 80% of our machinery also used to come through Israeli crossings. So once these crossings are closed, so absolutely we'll not be able to operate any of our factories.
Gaza's industrial sector included enterprises like weaving factories, quarries, and textiles. 41-year-old Nasser Al-Batran lives in the Al-Burayj refugee camp in the central Gaza Strip. Al-Batran used to work at a weaving factory in Gaza City before the Hamas takeover of the coastal strip and the subsequent Israeli closure of the region. He now stays idle at home, struggling to feed his 7-member family.
I'm out of the house from morning until the evening because I can't meet the needs of my family. A few days ago, my daughter asked me to give her 10 shekels for a school trip, but I couldn't.
When asked if he receives government aid, Nasser Al-Batran explains.
We appeal to both the Palestinian presidency and the government here to pay attention to laborers. Can you imagine? Those working for the president or those employed by the government take monthly salaries, while laborers are abandoned. How can a $100 stipend Ramallah or Gaza gives to laborers once a year be enough?
Batran is not alone. The majority of Gazan families cannot afford essential items for daily living. World Food Program states that 80% of Gaza residents survive on food aid. At the local market of the Al-Nusayrat refugee camp in the central Gaza Strip, vendors complain of that they are unable to sell their goods. Mazen Semeri sells the chickens in the market.
The situation is rotten, and as you see, no one is buying chickens. The prices are high, and the market is almost empty of people and cars.
Another major setback for the economy has been the withholding of salaries of government workers. When the Islamist Hamas movement seized control of the Gaza Strip in the wake of fierce factional fighting with the secular Fatah Party, the administration of Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas declared a boycott of the de facto government of Gaza. Government employees who continued to work in Gaza were declared insubordinate and their salaries have been withheld. The government is the largest employer in the coastal territory. Mohammed Al-Saftawi is a 28-year-old civil servant and the son of the late Fatah leader Asad Al-Saftawi. He has not been paid in 5 months.
I am a father of two children, and my salary is my children's sole source of livelihood. Actually, I've been suffering a lot because of this, especially since everyone knows I have no political affiliation.
The Hamas-run chamber of employees estimates that the Abbas government has withheld the salaries of some 40,000 civil servants and security forces. Samir Zakout of the Al-Mizan Center for Human Rights in Gaza says the withholding of salaries is illegal.
Hundreds of teachers had their salaries withheld. For instance, an entire school staff in the Rafah area suffered salary cuts. The situation hampers facets of public life and deprives the residents of the Gaza Strip of their basic rights, which we consider a blatant violation of the law. So we demand an investigation into the case.
Adding to the hardships caused by the collapse of Gaza's industrial and public sector, Israel has recently tightened its siege further by restricting the entry of essential supplies such as fuel and food items. Hamas says the Strip is on the verge of exploding, while it maintains it is determined to break up the siege. Israel, the United States, and other Western governments sidelined Hamas when the party took power after January 2006 parliamentary elections. The international powers want Hamas to recognize Israel and adhere to previously signed peace agreements, but Hamas has refused to participate in peace talks as long as Israel maintains its blockade and continues to take military actions against Palestinian civilians. Meanwhile, the Gaza Strip's civilian population remains trapped behind its border walls and the sea with a few of the basic necessities of life. For Free Speech Radio News, I am Rami Al-Mighari from IMEMC Gaza.
And that's just some of the news this week in Palestine. For constant updates, check out our website, imemc.org. Thanks for joining us from Occupy Bethlehem. This is Louisa White and Ghassan Bonoura.